and the beams were symbols of that. A cage grounded in dirt in which he could find nothing but death and pain. A limited universe which held only anguish. But how to convey the message? How to eliminate the distracting hints of amusement in eyes and mouth, the touch of the bizarre, the glint and twist, the subtle but damning suggestion that everything was a joke and death itself the final comedy? Cornelius! The voice came from beyond the arched doorway, causing little tinklings to murmur from the crystal chimes hanging beside the portal. Ursula, of course. Who else could create music from shaped and suspended fragments of glass? Cornelius? She entered, heralded by the whispering chimes, tall, slim, graceful, as she crossed the tessellated floor to stand beside his chair. She was all in blue, a variety of shades, which included her eyes, her lips, the sheen of her hair, deep colors rising from the sandals which hugged her feet, to her cinctured waist, the swell of high and prominent breasts, paling as they rose to frame her softly rounded shoulders with azure, deepening again at her lips, her brows, the crested mane of jewel-set tresses. Cornelius? Her hand fell to rest on his shoulder, long fingers tipped with richly blue nails, tinted skin, a background to the gleam of gems, set in wide bands of silver. Looking at the painting, she said, "Another composition. It's superb."
"No."
"You are too critical. That man, I can feel his pain."
"And?"
He shrugged as she frowned. "Is that all you see? A man in pain, nothing else?" Her hesitation was answer enough. He had failed, and by working on now, he would only accentuate the failure. Later, when less tired, he would again examine the painting. Rising, he applied solvent to his hands, ridding them of traces of pigments. As he worked, he said casually,
"Did you enjoy your swim?"
"It was exercise."
"And Akayab, was he also exercise?"
"When you are hungry, Cornelius, you eat." She turned to look at an unfinished statuette. "You were busy, and I was restless. A kayab was a means of passing the time. We enjoyed an interlude together, though I must admit I was disappointed. He was not as I remembered."
"Perhaps he, too, was merely hungry?"
"Perhaps."
"Or," he said dryly, "maybe he was simply bored."
She turned, stung, meeting his eyes as he finished cleaning his hands, her own eyes hard beneath the finely drawn arch of her brows. For a long moment, she stared at him, and then, shrugging, turned away. A whisper came from the chimes as she headed toward the door.
"Ursula, I'm sorry."
She paused and turned, the suspended chimes catching the vibrations of her voice, providing a muted accompaniment to her accusation. "You checked. Why?"
"An accident."
"What I do, where I go, whom I see, what are they to you?"
"It was an accident, Ursula. You must believe me."
He gestured toward the painting. "I was studying this. The figure seemed wrong, and I was checking anatomical detail. And then, I suppose, you checked." Her voice cut short his words, caused tinkles to stream like liquid notes from the chimes. "You asked, and pried. You had to know where I was and what I was doing. Why?" And then, before he could answer, she added softly, "Is it because you are in love with me, Cornelius? Is that it?" A way out, and to accept it would be to save his dignity. And there could be truth in it. Why else had he wanted to know where she had been, and with whom she had spent her time? A subconscious urge? An association of ideas? He glanced at the painting. No, that was ridiculous. And yet, love could be considered to be a prison and the victim of the sweet madness as firmly trapped as any prisoner. The sweet madness. Why had he called it